Thank you for coming to this evening's Monroe City Council meeting. This is a regular business meeting. Tonight is Tuesday, September 16th. The time is just after 7 p.m. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gearing.
Okay, will everybody please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is under announcements and presentations, and this is a presentation from the Monroe Library. We have Valerie Stevens and Phil Spirito here. Come on up.
Hi. So I'm Phil Spirito, and I will just, that's probably plenty loud, I'm sure. So I just came to give you guys a quick presentation, and I've only been here for 8 weeks, so take thanks.
Councilman, could you do the light? Thank you.
So the state of the library is kind of what I'm going to be talking about, but I'm also going to be just giving you guys a little refresher about some stuff that the library is doing, and after talking with Mayor Thomas, just some stuff about how the library works as well. So this is who I am, Phil Spirito. And I'm the managing librarian, and that means pretty much running the library over there. But I work for the library system, so I brought my boss with me here, who represents the library system. So who am I? Just a quick little bit of a background. This is about my fourth career, so don't count my life here or my age. Started off in food service, got a BA in English literature, had a fantasy about being a librarian, but was a musician, whatever, moved on to Chicago, and got into information technology. It was a great way to support myself, and I learned a lot about technology, which by the time I was sick of that and went to library school, put me perfectly placed for the modern library, because a lot of what we do in the modern library is technology support. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get on and about Monroe. So just a little refresher about how the Monroe Library works, and Mayor Thomas was talking to me this week about how our community library board works and how the library board for the library system works. So you can see here, the Snohomish and Island County Commissioners actually appoint our board of trustees, and they sit above the whole library system, and they're actually a policy-setting board. So they, like many organizations, nonprofit organizations, they are the ultimate decision makers for the library system. And then under that, you can see they oversee the director, and Valerie's position would be district manager, and then you see me here. Now, you guys appoint our community library board. So Mayor Thomas, with your approval, would appoint our library board, who advises me and the city council on the issues that we face in our community. They're a non-policy setting board, but they're there to advise and to bring us information. Anybody has any questions, just ask away. So, what is new and exciting with the Snow Isle Library system? And that's kind of the, again, overarching and helping us to really get going with the stuff we're going forward with in all our libraries. So we're doing two big projects right now, and both of these projects are targeted at improving future services. And this is a big thing right now. So the two big projects, the first one is information services. So basically, the old, I was just telling Valerie, in the old days, people would call or come up to the desk and have very interesting reference questions. And today I got one, the first one in a while. I have this picture of a tombstone. Can you tell me the cemetery it's in? I think it's in Canada. That's the kind of old school reference questions, right? We get very few of those these days. Most of what we get these days is, can you help me with my resume, et cetera? Can you help me find a job, et cetera, right? So what is the future? The future is we did three different surveys. We used a web survey. We did an email to community contacts. So that would be people that are in the upper, like city council members maybe, or mayors, or other kinds of organization leaders. And then we did a paper survey for all our old school people in the actual libraries. We got 582 responses, which is actually pretty good for a survey. And here's the three different things. Now, follow the interesting connections of what the three different surveys bring. So, selecting a book to read is number one, right? And that's the web survey. Selecting a book to read is also number one in the community survey, and of course in the old school survey. But you can see that they're slightly different in what they're looking for in other most important things. Here they're looking for hobby and library resources. Here they're looking for technology, again, back to that point. And then here, these people are kind of really old school. They're looking for academic level research, which again is something that comes up once in a while. So this is what people are still wanting in the current time. So the next step with this project is to take all that data and start planning how we're going to provide these services in the future. So when you come up to the information desk in the library, what's going to happen? And then this is actually even more exciting. So the next project is the Generation YZ study, and me being just barely an X here, and some of you guys maybe being boomers, but I think you guys are maybe a bunch of X's in here, I'm thinking. YZ is age 12 to 29, approximately. And you can see what that is. Now, the crazy thing is, this generation, they're planning it to be the biggest generation ever. So the boomers, you can see in that the last spike there, was the biggest up to date. And we took that big dip for X, and now we're back up there. They're going to be the hugest generation. What does that mean to all of us, especially the library, is these are our future customers. But these are future customers for Monroe and everybody involved, right? And we have to be considering that. How are we going to provide service to these people? So, again, largest generation. Obviously, they're the most mobile and the most connected. That's kind of a no-brainer, right? Obviously, they're crazy about social networking and social media. But really, we don't really know what they're going to be really into. Because those 12-year-olds, in another 10 years, they're going to be real teenagers. You know, and what are they going to be into then? We don't even know. So the interesting thing about this survey is you can see our customers today, and this kind of describes all of us smartphone users on the left here, right? We're all empowered and informed, right? We're all wanting customized products, etc. But you see Generation YZ wants more. They want more choices, but they also want more control. They want more efficient and seamless ways to access products. Don't we have right now, don't we feel like we have enough seamless ways to access this stuff? But they want more. They want more reliable content, and they don't want to do anything. They just want it to be delivered to them, right? And I think you guys with kids in this age bracket all know this is all what you are hearing, right? More respect for their time and attention. That one I'm still kind of trying to figure out. But I think as they get older, they realize they have less and less time because they're trying to do all this other stuff. So this is a really interesting study, and I think we all have to realize that for us, if we don't start addressing this generation, because we see basically in the library, a lot of our problem is at middle school, we start to lose kids, right? Less and less kids come to the library after middle school. So we need to figure out how to get them into the library and keep them there in the future. So this study is kind of going towards that. You can see the funny thing about this is they still want to borrow mostly print materials. So it's kind of a weird thing that we still have to remember that, you know what, reality is we still have a lot of books over there at the library, you know. So, anyways, now this one, again, is a no-brainer. What do they use the internet mostly for? Music, of course. But they're using it more for movies and TV, which that's a thing that the library provides, is we provide now streaming movies, music, and audiobooks as well as ebooks. So this is what we're trying to get kids to think about using more for free, you know? So, what do I see for the future of our library in Monroe? And again, 8 weeks, okay? That's all I've been here is 8 weeks. But I feel like luckily, I've been able to do a lot of stuff. You know, I've been to so many events already. I went to the Mexican Heritage Festival. I've been to the fair. I went to Swift Night Out and saw a bunch of these nice people the other night. So I'm just trying to get involved in the community and see what's going on. So this is what I think. Personally, I want more people in that library. I want to provide more services, and I think that we can do that. Our library is pretty quiet, but I think that we're providing amazing services. One of the things I've been lucky to do is if you guys didn't notice, I got interviewed by Chris, who's here back there, for the Monroe Monitor. And when I was talking to Chris, I said, you know, we provide this, 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 and this, and this. And Chris is like, what are you talking about? I said, well, really, we're the library. We do all this great stuff. How about if I write some articles? And she said, well, that's a great idea. So you'll see in the new Monroe Monitor, I'm writing about Book a Librarian. Book a Librarian is any human being can come into our library and book an hour on any topic, right? And we will sit down with you and help you. Learn your computer, learn your smartphone, fix your resume, do a research project. This is something that people don't realize. So my job is to talk about the services, spread the word to get more people in there. And to serve our library, right now the library system, Snow Isle, has done a lot of focus group, and Betsy Lewis, who was my predecessor, talked to a lot of community leaders, talked to Patsy, who was one of the people, about what our library really needs to provide in this community. And those things are resources of value. And now we have, you know, a 20%, almost 20% Hispanic community here. And one of the things we're talking about is ways to get more of those people into the library to use the library resources. So in that way, you can see some of the stuff we're going to be thinking about is providing ESL services maybe. One of my crazy ideas in the last couple weeks after talking to Ken Hoover at the school department, school district, is that they have a dual language program over there. So I'm thinking, why don't we offer Spanish classes at the library to encourage people in Monroe to embrace this culture that's part of their community? So these are just some of the ideas. Again, 8 weeks, I'll just remind you of that. But you can see, these are some things. But really, for me, I'm focusing on language services and technology. These are some things that I think our community really needs. And then you can see over here, we just have a few more things about, these are different program ideas that I'm going to be working on. Currently, I'm working on a plan that's going to make our evenings much more busy. So I'm planning on Monday night being family night. Tuesday night is going to be teens and adult programming. Wednesday night is going to be technology, and Thursday night will be kind of a roll the dice night. But if we have more programming at night, hopefully that'll bring more people in. So these are just some programming ideas. So I didn't want to take up too much of your time, and I hope I didn't go too fast. But does anybody have any questions?
Thank you very much. And Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. In the survey, I was curious because it wasn't listed games that people, that generation, what is it, YZ, uses the internet for. So did that not come up?
I don't think
you had music, movies, but no games.
Yeah, I don't think it did come up in that survey. And I'm surprised that it didn't as well. And it may just be that it was farther down in their interests. But the thing I think, not that I'm a super specialist of gaming, because I am not, but I think the kids are so geared towards their stations, you know, their systems, you know, that these days, and there are some of the multiplayer gaming that's going on, but I think that's not as much that generation. But I could be wrong. But it's a good question. Just try to figure
out. Yeah, my 12-year-old. He's on FaceTime on the computer playing on a server with other people while he's on the phone.
Is he playing Minecraft?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a thing when you start to think about Minecraft and why isn't that playing into this here? And I'm not sure, but that's something I'm wondering about. I want to do a Minecraft program at the library.
You should. So, they just
that
sold
is the
for
huge. Among that age group, basically 10 to 16 or so, Minecraft is the game, pretty much. which I don't understand. I watch them play, and I have no idea what they're doing. But they love it. Thanks, Betsy.
Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. And thank you for the presentation. I really appreciate it. First, the concept of a library being too quiet is just so different than anything I was ever brought up with. It just kind of blows me away. But I have to know, since you brought it up, how did you answer that cemetery question? I don't want to be left hanging.
That's a great... We were just talking about that. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little embarrassed and was embarrassed to tell my boss that...
Oh, well, if it's going to embarrass you, that's
okay. I'm not that embarrassed.
Okay.
So I used mostly Google to narrow the search down. All I knew was this: that what was on the tombstone was this guy was Monsignor something, a very long Polish name, and he was from a small town in Ontario. Mm-hmm. So basically, I started narrowing it down just to find the church first that he worked at. And then I finally, after looking for a while, I found his obituary, and it didn't list the cemetery where he was buried. And at that point, it was 5 o'clock, and I was going off the desk, so I passed it on to my librarian, and I said, good luck, really, because, you know, it's tough when you start to, it really gets to be a genealogy question at that point. And then we have to start to kind of narrow down even further. So I had done a bunch of work to at least figure out what we figured was his church, and then his obituary. So we knew the day, but we didn't know the cemetery.
And how do you book a librarian?
So you can just call the library.
Okay.
And make an appointment. And you can ask anybody that answers the phone. And or if you're in there, you can just walk up to any desk. But the other thing you can tell anybody is, when we're open, let's book a librarian field day. You
okay.
Come in there, and we're just waiting to help people.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments? Phil, welcome to our community.
Yeah, thank you.
I've seen you at a number of events, and I appreciate that you're active in the community and all the work that the library is doing. So thank you, Valerie, and thank you, Phil.
Thank you all, and I hope to see you in the library.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on the agenda, and before I continue, I do want to mention for the record that first that Councilmember Davis had mentioned last week that he would not be here, so he is excused. And unless there's objection, and then Councilmember Gamble notified me earlier today that he might be a little bit late, so that's where they are. And we'll now go back to announcements and presentations. The next one is AB 14-113. This is confirmation, appointment to Ethics Board, and oath of office. Councilmember Gehring.
I would like to confirm the mayor's appointment of Paul Graff to the Ethics Board.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Is there any discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Five. Let's say motion passes. 5-0. Thank you. Mr. Graff, come on forward. And who reads the oath? You do? Okay. Congratulations on your confirmation to the Ethics Board. I was very impressed with your interview and with the information that you had about yourself, and so congratulations. Liz is now going to read the oath of office, or you're going to repeat after her. So. And I think Chris is taking pictures over there for the monitor.
And I'll go ahead and read, and then you can confirm after. You, Paul Graff, do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Ethics Board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
Board Member Graff.
Very good.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We do have sign-in sheets, and we do have two people that have signed in. The first one is Mr. Douglas Hamer. We need to make certain that one makes it to the city clerk. Thank you. Yes, you can just hand them to our attorney and we'll pass them down. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm here to speak about the rezone and reasons to accept the Rosemary Community Board decision and take no further action. I want to, first of all, corroborate Susan Boyd, the representative of Case Engineers, last week. She said that they went above and beyond what might be expected of a EIS. And I definitely think she did. They did go above and beyond, but they went above and beyond in what I would characterize as the creative application of the persuasive arts. And by doing so, they sacrificed reasonably in time in the city of Major, which is actually the main responsibility of the EIS. But they had to do that because to factually analyze, provide an analysis of this land and its location, they would not have come up with the narrative that the client desired. And that's because locating a shopping center that's totally auto-dependent, a mile out of town, is very far out of sync with current trends in municipal design, which are compact and walkable. Well, besides all the environmental issues, citing, actually it's out of sync not only with current ones, but going back at least 40 years. And besides that, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare this, what I'm saying on this. I took too much time preparing that stuff. So I hope you will take a close look at that. It's a quick read and not much exposition. Anyway, this kind of development on the point bar of an old oxbow and active river system not only goes against trends of the last 40 years, or it goes against prudent building ideas and goals of the last 1,000 years. I mean, I would challenge any of you to find that kind of a development on anything similar to this land out here. I don't think you won't find it. I'd also like to point out something that we were not able to raise during the discussion of this proposal earlier, and that is considering the tragic situation in Oso. Now, I never considered the idea of the entire hillside collapsing. I don't think anybody did, but it's something to consider, and I think you should think about it now. The Snohomish County published a draft moratorium on building, doing any building, within a half a mile of this exact bluff. Now, that may have been an overreaction, but in the FEIS, they're citing buildings in the northeast corner that are about 100 feet from that bluff. So is it prudent to invite thousands of people onto a piece of property that's directly below an unstable bluff of this magnitude? As to the inaccuracies in the EIS itself, the EIS used LIDAR technology to come up with 7 feet of elevation of earth out there that was actually blackberries, and determined that this, because of that elevation, which was blackberries, not earth, that could be excavated to provide compensatory flood storage. Now, I don't know if you guys think that getting rid of blackberries would give you compensatory flood storage. I do not. I've also provided in here some excerpts from FEMA's most recent study on climate change, which predicts that flooding in the riverine environments of the Northwest is going to accelerate at a very rapid pace in the very near future. By 2020, we're talking about a 20% increase in the special flood hazard zones.
Mr. Hamer, I do need to ask you to wrap up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway. It also says that adding 5,000 cars a day coming in and off of that property is not going to significantly impact the traffic down there. And they do this preliminary by which what the GMA mostly objected to was their alternative one, which says that the presupposes that the most likely development on this property is a 500-member church, a fitness club, the likes of Gold's Gym, and a daycare center. And all of that, they're presuming, their premise is that all of that exists down there now.
Mr. Hamer, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we have 5 minutes and you're at six right now.
Okay. So, all right.
Thank you.
Just take a look at this, and I ask you, I just want a final question. Are you willing to attach your names to defending the inaccuracies in the EIS?
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have who signed up is Mr. Lowell Anderson. Mr. Anderson?
Good evening. I'm Lowell Anderson, 129 East Rivermont Drive, longtime opponent of East Monroe Rezone. Last year in September of 2013, in this very room, I stated that PACE Engineering EIS environmental impact statement was flawed. This September 2014, I can say it's flawed. I refer to the Growth Management Hearing Board, State of Washington, case number 14-3-0006 small c, final decision and order. I'd like to briefly read the order. It says, based upon the review of the petition for review, the briefs and exhibits submitted by the parties, the GMA board orders the case law, having considered the arguments of the parties and having deliberated on the matter, the board orders. One, petitioners, that was us, they failed to meet their burden of proof as to legal issues 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. These issues are dismissed. However, the city failed to comply with RCW 43.21C, .030, parentheses small c, and the final environmental impact statement for ordinances numbers 022-2013 and 024-2013 is inadequate because it failed to consider a reasonable range of alternatives and failed to adequately analyze environmental impact on the entire 43 acres zone. The city's adoption of ordinance was not guided by and substantially interfered with the fulfillment of GMA Planning Goal 10. A determination of invalidity is entered for ordinance number 22213, section 3, and related attachments, including exhibit G and ordinance number 024213. The board sets aside the following schedule for city's compliance. Now you have a bunch of different compliances. You missed a reconsideration, you can take it to Superior Court, or you can go on to compliance. Your compliance is due February 23rd, 2015. The objections, which we will prepare, will be due March 23rd, 2015. Now, the compliance, as I read it, well, in order to obtain the magnitude of the corrective action, I'd like you people to read pages 20 through 34 of this document, and it will explain environmental impact. Compliance to me means another environmental impact statement or equivalent. My question is, how much of our city resources are you willing to commit? My recommendation is the city stops hemorrhaging valuable time and money on this issue. If, however, you decide to proceed as a citizen and taxpayer, I ask that at the conclusion of this compliance, you will be able to itemize, one, the city staff man hours, two, legal and consultant costs, three, miscellaneous expenses for the total cost. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. And for the record, I'd like to have it reflect that Councilmember Gamble came in at 7:32 during Mr. Anderson's comments. Are there any other members of the audience that would like to come forward to speak?
Sorry, I signed up too late.
It's okay. You don't need to sign up. That's why I asked that question. Una.
Excuse me. Sorry.
I am so excited even though Phil is gone that I'm not the only enthusiastic person there in town anymore.
Making for almost a century.
So, with that said, I'll only take a few moments of your time. The button was just browsing. Okay, so, ta-da! This is what our choices were.
Cardinals.
We went with option C. This is Jose. The beginning, we had our lovely sign hanging right here, but it got too windy over this past week, so we had to take it down. And here we have, after the cleaning, thank you, City of Monroe, for allowing us to use the pressure washer. And then we continued on, new primed. And then we had some images that had been laid out in determining a 10-foot section as to how much space it would take up and so on and so forth, spatiality, which I'm not an expert at, but Esther and Jose were. Cardona and Sons, that is Jose's business. He is the individual that did the painting in Mount Vernon, which is why we chose him. And there it is, all primed up. Even all primed up, it looks amazing.
Much better.
And then we had the base paint go on. And then we had to rope off sections so that we knew how much a 10-foot section would be so we could start painting. We got same feet like I did it. But anyway, so we could see how far apart we were from one another. 150 feet was a big deal. And then, unlike Mount Vernon, we had letters that we had to figure out. Letters are much difficult to paint when they're 10 feet tall, but Jose did an amazing job. And we had a bit of a hydraulic line issue yesterday. We were down for about 5 hours because the hydraulic line broke. Thank you again, City of Monroe, for helping in that situation. But then the Mount Index and trees started going up. They are up in several different colors. And actually, every single thing is used a hand roller. Nothing was spray painted. Everything was done by hand. And it also gives a much better look. And of course, we don't spray the vehicles below, too. That's some kind of importance. And this happened at 5 o'clock this evening. Jose was this far. It was almost completed, but I had to stop taking pictures because I had to prepare this for you. So, and actually that beige color back there, he's actually sponging that on. That's all sponge painted on.
Wow.
And this lower 10-foot portion will actually be covered with a 10-foot wide wrap that Image Mill will be doing, another business here in town, and it will have information and photographs of the early 1900s and the Coronation plant that will be visible for folks to get up and close to. I need to procure funding for that. I'm hoping to have that by early next year. And there we go.
Thanks for that.
Nice.
We're watching birds there.
So with that said, I know I'm not supposed to ask for any questions. If you have any questions, please bring
us. Council members, do you have any questions? Una?
If there will be a ribbon cutting October 16th at 4:30 in the afternoon. Please put it on your calendars. They will be sending out a press release. And we'd like to have you all there.
Sure. Cool.
Una, on behalf of our whole community, and I'm certainly certain on behalf of the council members, thank you.
Thank you.
Board of Directors and thank the Chamber for being involved and doing something that goes beyond what just is a traditional chamber. You're doing things in the community, and I really appreciate it. So thank you.
I hope to do more, and thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, are there... Okay. Are there any other members of the public that would like to come over to come up and speak? Brad?
Uh,
Oh. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to go ahead and we're going to move on now to the consent agenda. Would anybody like to make a motion for the consent agenda? Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, motion passes 6-0. The next item that we have on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is AB 14-114. It's ordinance number 011-2014, amending sign code regulations. This is the first reading. And Melissa, there you are.
Good evening, Council Mayor. Tonight, we're asking for final action for first reading on permanent sign code regulations. We've been using interim regulations, as you're aware, for the past 18 months, and now we have a fully tested and revised code ready for permanent adoption. The latest and final code you have tonight in your packet with the ordinance includes a number of text changes, mainly to clarify language based on a thorough final legal review of the code. We're now implementing a citywide enforcement program that will initially deal with temporary signs, including illegal flags and A-boards, and move on to building sign enforcement. We will also be coming back to you with code revisions to give us the ability to assess and collect fines for violations, should that be necessary for compliance. So I'll just keep it short and sweet. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Council members, do you have any questions or comments? Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, it's on the enforcement piece, that was the one piece I know we'd ask questions about. Who's going to be doing that? I mean, what resources have we identified to...
City staff. There's several folks in the planning department, including the building official, a couple of the planners, myself included.
Okay.
Paul, we're going to be heading up with a number of folks, probably 5 to 6 different people will be taking pieces of that. Some staff taking more than others, but certainly it'll take a few folks to do that.
So existing staff just breaking kind of.
Yep, exactly.
Got it, divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Yeah, are there any other questions or comments? Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to accept as first reading ordinance number 012-2014, amending sections 10.24.010 MMC, purpose 10.24.020 definitions, and 10.24.040 MMC, maximum weight limitation on streets not designated as truck routes, providing for severability and establishing an effective date, and that's the wrong one.
Thank you.
So let me go back.
You'd like to end that motion?
Yes, I'd like
that's
to.
That's what I thought.
And read the correct motion.
I lost you at 2014.
Yeah, I'd like to rattle it off too quick. Here we go.
Or you can read offline.
Or I can read it offline. Accept this first reading ordinance number 011-2014, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, relating to the display of signage, amending Chapter 18.80 MMC signs, repealing interim ordinance number 008-2014, providing for severability and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on the agenda is under new business. This is AB 14-115, approval of ordinance number 012-2014 regarding overweight vehicle parking permits. This is for first reading. And Brad, do you have this?
Isn't there one from the
board? Yeah, correct.
Oh, okay.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Melissa for all her work and appreciate everything you do for our city. And I wanted to catch that before we moved on to Brad's thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Back in July, we brought to the council the desire to make some modifications to the overweight vehicle parking regulations. We've done that. Taking it, basically what we've done is increase the weight limit from 12,500 pounds to 15,000 pounds, because that will allow people to actually drive their F-350 pickup trucks home.
That was a shot.
Parking on private property from the parking on the right of way. It was kind of unclear about when you needed to get a permit in the current regulation, so that separated out. Added the visibility criteria. The truck parking on the right of way is going to block visibility of people driving on the streets to not allow that. And then also to make a limit so there's only one vehicle per property you can have that permit at one time, so we can avoid the situation where we had multiple dump trucks on a piece of property. So any questions that we have to answer them, or are we looking for a motion?
Council, do you have any questions or a motion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
No. Brett, thank you for all the work on this. We had a very lengthy discussion on this at the P4 committee a couple weeks ago, and it was very well laid out. So I would like to make a motion to accept this first reading, ordinance number 012-2014, amending sections 10.24.010 MMC purpose, 10.24.020 definitions, and 10.24.040 MMC maximum weight limitation on streets not designated as truck routes, providing for severability and establishing an effective date.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item that we have on the agenda is new business number 2. This is AB 14116, authorize the mayor to sign public defender contracts for backup services. And Ms. Smoot, would this be you?
Thank you. Just noticing online that the documents aren't online.
Yeah.
There's no attached.
Not sure why that is.
I have no documents.
Presented with packets, so I apologize for that. What I can tell you is that the backup services contracts are almost verbatim as the full-time public defender. However, they do give the specific pricing for the backup services. And let me just read to you a couple of those specific changes that are different from the regular contract that you approved for Ms. Trua last week or a couple weeks ago. Specifically, it's the same market rate of $300 per case, but the ones are being only paid for the cases that they cover. And for arraignment and in custody calendars, which are counted at a 0.17% or time of a case count, they will be paid at $50 per hour for coverage of that. There are two different contracts. One is for a gentleman by the name of Chris Griffin, and he will be doing a lot of that arraignment and in custody coverage, and then be doing some overflow for if we hit Ms. Trua's $240 max or 240 case maximum. He will be doing some overflow cases and available in cases of conflict. And Mr. Walt Wagner, who will be available, he does conflict cases now, and he will also be available at the back to Mr. Griffin for the in custody and arraignment. So same, pretty much the same pricing, but of course they're not on a salary, they're on a per case basis. And I don't know if you have any questions on that.
Ms. Smoot, before we continue, since there isn't a link online, is there any reason why this can't wait until next week?
As these are for August 1st, so they are backdated, it would be best to approve them. So if you had any specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them. As I said, the differences are actually very specific, and I apologize that they're not online. I just noticed that. If you wanted to see the motion, I can certainly pass them around if you needed that information, but let me know how you'd like to proceed.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring suggested, and I concur, that maybe during exec session, if you could run copies of them and have them brought in, that'll allow the council members an opportunity to review them. Are there any objections to that, Council?
No, that's a good idea.
Okay, so we'll bring that back in sometime after.
Later on the agenda.
Yeah, later on the agenda, probably under final action. Okay, the next item that we have on the agenda is AB 14118. This is discussion East Monroe options, including potential voter direction regarding compliance options or appeal. And at this point in time, I'm going to request an executive session in this room for actual litigation, RCW 42-30-110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection little I, for initially 30 minutes. And thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We're going to, I'm sorry.
Awkward moment.
Okay, we are back out of executive session, and I think, Gene, were you going to have any opening comments, or would this just be Brad?
Going to Brad.
Brad, go ahead. This is again on Agenda Bill 14-118, Discussion East Monroe Options. Go ahead, Brad.
The Grand Banks and Hearings Board, Central Puget Sound Region, issued a final decision in order regarding the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan and Rezone on August 26, 2014. The final decision order found that the final environmental impact statement was inadequate and invalidated and remanded the ordinance to the City Council. The City Council has at least three options that are not limited to the following. One, the Council could appeal the decision to the Growth Management Hearings Board and have the City Attorney file the appropriate motion in the Superior Court. The petition for the appeal would be due on September 25th of this year. There is the cost of the legal challenge to that, to the appeal, that is an issue for the Council. Another option would be to revise the final environmental impact statement to address the Growth Management Hearing Board's concerns and consider new ordinances amending the comprehensive plan for rezoning the property. Compliance needs to be achieved by February 23rd of 2015. Sufficient time must be allowed for the review of the draft supplemental environmental impact statement, and sufficient time also must be allowed for the review and response to comments that were received from citizens regarding the draft supplemental environmental impact statement. Due to the amount of work to be done and the amount of noticing and review times, it may be necessary to ask for an extension of compliance with the Growth Management Hearings Board. There is a cost factor for the consultant to do this work, and also the amount of staff time that would be necessary in order to do this, and how that will work with the workload that the planning committee staff already has to do, and what items might have to be pushed off. There's also some questions regarding that the amount of work that is proposed to be done would satisfy the Growth Management Hearing Board. Third option would be to accept the decision of the Growth Management Hearings Board and transmit to the board the city's intention to take no further action on this issue, and that would involve the resolution from the City Council, and then also that would be followed by the city attorney stating that the city has no intention to continue on with this issue. So that's the introduction.
Okay. And before we begin with Council, we did receive an email from Ed Davis earlier today from Councilmember Davis. He was not able to be here tonight, and so I'm going to go ahead and read into the record what he had sent to us. It says, Mayor Thomas and Administrator Brazel, as you are aware, I'm out of town in business. I'm sorry I couldn't get this to you sooner, but I have not had a computer access. I wanted to make sure my input was received on AB 14118, Discussion East Monroe Options, before the meeting tonight. As this is noticed as a discussion for tonight, I want to voice my support for Option B, as listed on the agenda bill cover sheet. I am not in favor of Option C. My intent is that this will help contribute to direction as requested in the agenda bill title. I look forward to being able to discuss this on September 23rd as well, if necessary. Option D is what he has in parentheses. I'd like to make sure my discussion input makes it on the record tonight. Thank you, Ed Davis. And that was received this evening. All right, council members, do you have any questions? Okay, Councilmember Cutterback.
Brad, could you give us an account of how much money has been spent in legal fees and possibly give an estimate of how much staff time and hours have been spent on this? I've sat on council since 2010, and this has been an issue or has come up before council numerous times since then. And I know originally the city had taken the burden of drafting the first phase DIS. So if you could just tell me again, legal fees up to this point, and then also maybe give an estimate. I know we don't have it hard numbers of staff time, but
the date our estimated legal fees so far are about $121,000, and there really is no estimate of staff time. We didn't keep those kind of records back then, so I really can't tell you. It wasn't It wasn't an inordinate amount of time so far, actually, but so I can't tell you how much time was spent on doing the first environmental impact statement. Since then, there has been the staff time to review the other environmental impact statement, preparing the council packets, and working on the submittals to the convention hearing board, and that took quite a bit of time, and Melissa might have a better estimate of how much time they spent on doing that. And then going forward from this point, there's a lot of staff time that needs to be done for the review of the work that will be done by the consultant if we decide to go that way.
And at this time, it's still a no project issue, right? I mean, we don't have a developer right. waiting in the wings.
Yeah, it's a non-project action.
Okay. And then, can you tell a little bit more about the schedule that is laid out if we're to take option B, as Councilman Davis wrote in his email?
Yes. With the compliance deadline of February 23rd with the Growth Management Hearings Board, we'd have to have an effective ordinance on February 22nd at the latest. In order to get that done, to have the work done by the PACE consultant for the additional environmental work, and doing the really tight amount of time for staff review, they basically we have to issue a notice to proceed with PACE tomorrow. That is really, really tight for sufficient staff review. It would probably an additional 2 months would be comfortable.
Could our current staffing structure handle this schedule?
I'll make a first comment, and then we can refer to Melissa about that because she's more intimately involved with what's going on. There would be some other projects that would have to slide and be pushed back because basically there would have to be one full-time equivalent working on this project from now until February 23rd.
So when you say other projects slide or push back?
Okay. That's mainly the current workload that the planning for main department has, which is reviewing sign applications, reviewing schedule reviews, reviewing short class, reviewing the comp plan, EIS to come this month and next month, working on the comp plan update. So there's a number of other workloads we have going on right now, and it would require significant staffing for us, right? We estimate 3/4 to a full-time staff member or until February 23rd.
Well, I'm going to make a motion, and I'll be interested to hear what other council members think, but I'd like to make the motion and see if I get a second. So I'd like to make a motion to comply with the final decision and order of the growth management hearings and authorize the mayor to take all appropriate and necessary action to convey to the growth management hearings board the city's intention to no longer pursue the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment or REZO.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cutterback. I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to select what is on the agenda bill as agenda action option C. Okay, any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I appreciate the motion. I certainly appreciate everybody's opinion. I know everybody has it's been a long issue with this, and regardless of whether you're new, it's been out there. And appreciate that we come from different perhaps views on it and views on what to do, but I know that everybody has the city's best interests at heart, and so I just certainly want to make sure that, while we may disagree on things, I certainly respect that people have strong opinions about this particular issue. I also do want to say that I think PACE did an excellent job. I think their job was outstanding. I think Melissa Sartorius did a great job, and it's unfortunate that in this ruling, there's just the way that it was worded with regard to her is, quite frankly, I find unprofessional on the part of the way that the ruling came down. And it's certainly my intent to make sure that this does not negatively reflect on her or her future career should she choose to move on at some time from the city of Monroe. It is unfortunate. As the head SEPA person, unfortunately, that's the position you get put in sometimes. So with that being said, this has been a long and tortured thing over the course of time. This is next month will be my 7th year here, and on my very second meeting, we were it was already well underway on this particular topic. It'd be great to get to some sort of finality. The unfortunate part of things like this and the burden that the city has is that there's a cost of doing business as a city, and it doesn't cost someone very much to appeal something, and yet with a simple appeal, lots of money can be heaped on the responsibility of a city to do the right thing. In my opinion, to do the right thing is to cross the finish line on this, and I think it makes sense for the city to defend its own action. Out of the 13 items, we were actually found in favor for 9 of them, and they're asking us to potentially make changes to 4 of those things. So from that standpoint, it was great to win on many of the items that were there, and I think that needs to be noted as well. There is a cost, certainly, but that's part of what city business is. It's a little bit unfair that a city gets burdened with so much simply to defend its own actions. I believe it's worth it because I believe the right thing to do is to defend our actions. I believe this has an unfortunate consequence across all cities across our state, that a ruling of this type sets a terrible precedent for what's required for non-project. I mean, this is about changing the color of a map, and yet the bar has been raised to, quite frankly, a ridiculous level, in my opinion, by this ruling. I think it's incumbent upon us to defend our actions in this case. Yes, it's going to cost some money, but it's going to affect, in my opinion, every other city is going to now have to meet this bar for non-project rezones across the state. I certainly would like to see us reach out to the AWC and get their opinion and ruling on, or not a ruling, but certainly their opinion on whether they think this will also affect other cities. From a time standpoint, if there's some way to ask for an extension for this schedule, I think that we should, even to make a decision tonight. I know there are 6 of us. We have a council member who's not here, and I certainly know when you're not here, you can't vote. And if there is a way to find out a little bit more information and get that extension, do we know how long it would take to get a response on an extension? Is there a certain period of time that we can expect to hear back with a yay or a nay?
I would estimate between 14 and 21 days. But
to get a yay or a nay on it?
To get some answer from the growth board. It could be shorter. It might be slightly longer.
Okay.
That's after the middle of summer class.
Correct.
Take a time to prepare.
Correct. There's a process for that in the Growth Management Board's procedural rules, and it would be in the form of a motion request to the board. The board has the option, although it's not required to, require a compliance hearing as a predicate to granting any extension. The fact that the city would be making a request so early rather than late, I think, mitigates against the likelihood of a hearing, but it's something that the board can require.
Okay. And to that end, let's say there's option C that's on the table tonight. I find myself in favor of option B, recognizing that there is a motion on the table. Can an extension be asked for while we perhaps decide between the two? Since we're kind of pressed for this based on the information that we're given tonight. I hate to make decisions in a rushed nature like this, and so can an extension be asked before taking action on either? And so what I thought I heard was you actually have to have taken action and then ask for the extension. I don't know.
Not necessarily, Council. Okay. The city would have to support its request for an extension with some meaningful documentation as to why an extension is needed, something that demonstrates the complexity of the issues facing the city as it attempts to reach compliance, some special circumstances, something unique about the property, and or the city's need to coordinate with its other planning processes. There's nothing that requires one of these actions legally these options to be taken before making or authorizing a motion for an extension. My understanding, though, is there is a practical constraint that is attendant to one of the options, and that is the need, if I'm hearing staff correctly, to put Pace Engineering under contract in the immediate near term. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, the driver for this, and that doesn't bear directly on the city's ability to get an extension, but it is a separate consideration.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you. Again, I appreciate that everyone wants to do what's best for the city. I'll restate it. I believe it would be a mistake not to defend our own actions, given the impact that this has, quite frankly, statewide, for a bar to be reached. There is a cost to doing business as a city. We are talking about there is certainly a significant amount of money. And personally, I believe it's the right thing to do, and so I'll just leave my comments at that for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little puzzled because if, actually just in direct response, to be honest with you, option B and C to me do the same thing from the standpoint of validating the action that the growth board took. There's no difference there. The only really where you're going to defend your action, in my opinion, is if you're appealing the final decision. So, I mean, if you take action B, I mean, they both read exactly the same in the first sentence, right? Complying with the final decision and order the growth management hearings, right? One is where we don't take action so we don't spend money, which, to your point, would validate. But in B, it would be the same thing. If you take the action and spend the additional money, which is a cost we don't have in the budget or budgeted, you're doing exactly the same thing. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, if I may. Yeah.
I mean, I've got more, but I'll go
ahead. No, yeah, and I know you do. I want to make sure that you get your comments in. My personal feeling on appeal is that it's not right at this time. I think that we actually may get there. And ultimately, I think, in my personal opinion, there are steps that we need to take to do this defense. And as I understand it, presented these options with information that's been given to me, this is the first step in defending ourselves successfully.
I guess that's my point. This is not option B is not a defense.
In my opinion, it is part of one, which
I guess I include City Attorney Lowell. I mean, option B, if I'm reading it appropriately, is just we comply. That's not it. We're just going to comply with the ruling that has been given to us. There's no defense in that.
There's really,
complying.
To answer your question, Council, there really is no definitive guidance that the board has offered to the city on how to achieve compliance. It's typically left to each jurisdiction that has been faced with an order of noncompliance how to reach compliance. So there's nothing that I can point to in the growth board's rules that say that the city must take this particular option or must take that particular option. These are options that I would consider to be commonsensical, depending on the council's policy preferences, as a way to persuade the growth board to terminate its existing order of noncompliance, and to the extent that the council wants to proceed with the reclassification and rezone, to lift its order of invalidity, if that's the direction the council wants to go. But there's no hard and fast rule or direction that the board has granted. Both of these are options to potentially achieving compliance.
Of the chain, yeah, but I guess the statement, and I mean, Councilmember, and I get it, but you're making a valid point. One of the points that I'm looking at is that from the standpoint of what is the impact beyond this project, so take this out of a vacuum, right, and from the, you know, being on the book, and that's where I'm seeing, I don't see your point, the impact statewide, because if we comply and we spend a lot of money and we go forward, it's no difference to me from the standpoint, because you're basically saying, okay, you're right, growth management board, and we're going to try to meet to the letter of the law that you've spelled out, whatever that may be. And I understand it's you're saying that it's ambiguous, but from that, does that make sense?
And I wouldn't put words in Councilmember Gehring's position on the concern with the growth board's order. That, again, going back to the list of options that the council has on the agenda bill, B and C are two potential ways of not appealing and still getting potentially the order of noncompliance lifted as of next year. they both will affect the city if they are successful. They both will have the same result, meaning that the board will terminate its order of noncompliance and find that the city is in compliance. They are two different means of achieving that.
But they also send the same message saying that, okay, now you're in compliance, and we have on the record now that you have to do this for this type of project or this type of rezone. Because I know that's, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but based off your statements you were saying, that's the, your concern is defending the action and the impact statewide and what that means for future.
I think it's unfortunate that it will.
But I don't, I guess what I'm saying though is I don't see the difference between the two. Where both would put us in noncompliance, both of them you're adhering to what they've laid out before you, correct? I'm reading that correctly, right?
Can
I get what you're saying.
Question, please?
So what I'm saying is that I understand what you're saying. Both options get us to where we get out of the noncompliance mode.
Correct.
But they also both cement that you needed to go and either correct these issues or take a non-action, basically validating the statement that we're correct.
I think I understand what you're saying. That the only option before the council that would have the legal and practical effect of disagreeing formally with the growth board's final decision and order as it relates to the SEPA issue would be to actually appeal it. At that point, the city would be challenging formally, legally, the growth board's decision. Is that?
That's what I'm basically saying, because that's what I heard in your voice and when you were saying that, you know, defending and the impact across the board. Because to me, the two options are the same from that perspective, right? It's not a challenge. It's just trying to be in compliance to get the noncompliance withdrawn against the city. Just two different means of doing it.
Both of those are options to potentially obtain compliance.
Okay.
Yes, and the option A is the option of formally disagreeing with the growth board's ruling, filing an appeal, and challenging the growth board's order in Superior Court and testing that through the judicial process.
Okay. And then the other question was just, is there there's anything to preclude us as a legislative body to revisit this, if we were to choose not, if we were to choose to exercise the options 3 or 4?
I'd be happy to review that and return with a more definitive answer for the council. I'm not aware of anything, particularly anything long-term in the state law, but I would like to review that before providing advice on that. I believe that the city has adopted a local protocol as part of its comprehensive plan amendment procedures that has established some durational limit on the extent to which an unsuccessful applicant for a comprehensive plan amendment can resubmit essentially the same proposal, and I would have to defer to staff on both the specifics and the time frame attached to that. And I will come back to you with an answer on the state law issue.
Okay. And then the only, and is this public record or is this?
That's public record.
This is public record. So, you know, in reference, because I, you know, this is where I'm pairing to your remarks. I mean, that's from the applicant's perspective, in their letter to the city, you know, it is in the city's best interest to vigorously fight to have this decision struck down. In that particular statement, the only option that I see that would meet that would be the first option, correct?
Pardon me?
The statement in here from the applicant is in the city's best interest to vigorously fight to have this decision struck down.
That's a policy question for the city council.
Okay.
And whether you as a group.
No, I understand that, but maybe you didn't hear the second half of my question. That policy question that is there, the only option in order to meet the request would be to choose option A as a city council.
Well, my review of the second paragraph of this letter that you're referring to, Mr. Gamble, is that that's what the landowner applicant is requesting, and its belief that the city should, quote, fight this decision in Superior Court.
Right, option A. I got
correct.
It. Okay.
But that's, again, to state the obvious, that's the landowner's
totally understand.
And you may have the same or a different perspective. It's the city's decision.
No, and I understand that. I'm just trying to, and I'm trying to evaluate all the different factors that go into this, and you're absolutely right. It's been around a long time. We have a decision that we have to make now. I'm just failing to see, you know, in the best interest of the city, as you put it, Kurt, I don't see the benefit of the city to spend additional money in an exorbitant amount that we don't have budget to basically, when I have the applicant statement, and then even those that would like to see the rezone change, the underlying statements that basically say, hey, this isn't right, we should defend it. Well, then if that's, I would expect to see a challenge or a, you know, going, you know, to appeal the decision. I'm not really in favor of spending lots of money to basically, you know, put this on the record that, yeah, hey, this is what you have to do in the city. I would rather, you know, it's almost like working on a car where you keep working on it and you've done a lot of work, and now we just don't have the money to finish it right now, so I'm going to put it in the garage, and 1 to 3 years from now, maybe we have a project oriented where you actually have a developer that's willing to get in, as opposed where there's an immediate benefit to the city. That's my personal opinion. Did you want to respond?
Just to clarify that unless the project at issue would be one that is compliant with and mm-hmm. satisfy the city's current zoning designation for the property, a reclassification and rezone would likewise be necessary at that future date as well, just to clarify it, that.
Absolutely correct, which at that particular time, you know, maybe we'd have the funds in order to go after. And that's basically what I'm saying, Zach. I understand. Thanks. So I am in support of the motion. Motion C. Thanks.
Amen.
Are there any other comments or questions? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I appreciate all the comments on this, and you know, the thing that really struck the chord on me with this is comes down to the cost of it all. You know, certainly everyone here has got far more knowledge as far as that goes, and because their tenure on council. And so hearing about that, but also, you know, it does concern me of moving forward with one of the other options, whether that be A or B, and the costs associated with it, the time, staff time associated with it, you know, two big things, but also that staff time that's taken away from projects and matters that are already going in place and moving forward that actually have live, tangible aspects to them right now that they're growing. Those would potentially be in jeopardy because we wouldn't have the staff time dedicated to those. That really bothers me because we've got something that's live and moving forward, and you know, we may not have the staff time to dedicate to that, but yet we're going to redesignate that staff time to you know, a rezone that may or may not be developed right away, and sounds like it won't be developed right away. So it's kind of a very futuristic concept. You know, I want to be able to have our staff focus on growing today for the future, first and foremost, and you know, taking care of business today, and and I think we, you know, with option C, that allows us to keep going with that. Down the road, this thing resurfaces and comes back, and there's money there, there's staff time available. I mean, it could be a different ball game down there or down the road, but today it's not right. So. Thank
you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on Councilmember Gamble's argument, and I appreciate it because I wasn't thinking of it like that, but when I look at B and C, basically B is spending money to comply, and C is complying but not spending any more money. Both are agreeing to move forward and comply with the Growth Management Board's ruling. In the letter, he clearly says that doesn't Pastor Minnick, he doesn't want to set precedent, he does, you know, we need to fight it, and he is talking about the appeal. which I am not in favor of whatsoever. So it's easy for me between B and C to pick C in this, to not spend more taxpayer dollars on this project, especially since we don't have any development waiting in the wings. There is nothing that is going on with this property anytime soon. We have residential development, we have commercial, we have Kelsey, we have other projects on the table that I think everybody up here is committed to seeing get done. We've heard from staff that it'll take an enormous amount of staff time to fulfill the requirements of B moving forward. We might have to put a full-time staff person towards that, taking them away from other projects such as Kelsey. And I know, again, I'll say this again, everybody up here wants to see Kelsey done, wants to see more residential development. That, to me, takes precedent over moving forward with this when we have no development waiting in the wings. There's no need right now. It's not a priority. To be honest, since I've been on council, this property has not been a priority. We have had issues with other property, with our loan, with, you know, cutting back on staff in the planning department, and this property has been made a priority, and we have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, probably by the time that we tabulate all the money we have spent on this one piece of property with no development waiting to happen. That blows me away. So, again, that's why I made my motion for C. I'm willing to comply. I'm not willing to spend any more money on this property right now. So, thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked like he was going to.
Okay, Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say anything.
So I really appreciate hearing everyone's thoughts who have spoken. Appreciate Councilmember Davis emailing in. Wasn't expecting that. I feel I understand all of the points. I really do, that have been made from everyone. I cannot see us, after working on this for years and years and coming almost to the finish line, I cannot see us just stopping and throwing our hands up and walking away. I don't want to spend any more money on this than anybody up here. But I think that would be wrong to just walk away after going this far and as to the, unfortunately, we haven't been given a whole lot of time to make decisions. So at this point, I was first inclined for option B. Some points have been made, and so now I'm leaning more towards option A. I will not be voting for your motion, but I totally respect everything that you've said and what everyone has shared. It's an unfortunate and tragic situation that we've been put in as a city by this reckless decision by a hearing examiner, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other comments? Okay.
I'm going to call for the question.
I don't want to miss a light. I'm going to call for the question. Okay.
No light.
Step away from the light. There we go. Okay. All in favor of the motion to choose option C, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So let me see the hands of the ayes, please. Okay. So we have 3-3. So the ayes were Cutterback, Rasmussen, and Gamble, and then the nays were Hanford, Camp, and Gehring. So I understand that Councilmember Davis has submitted his letter in support of not option C. I've had the opportunity over the, and I have the ability to cast a vote or to not cast a vote to break a tie. I've had the ability over the last couple weeks to understand more about what this application has meant to our city in terms of staff time and cost, and am not supportive of continuing down that path, and therefore I will be voting in favor of C, which was the motion. Okay, so the motion passes. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you, and I appreciate your ability to break the tie and the thought that you put into this. I do believe that option C, now that that is the one that has passed, will actually end up being our most expensive option, and I will just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from council members? Okay. Thank you all very much for your thoughtfulness on this, and we will now move on to final action. AB 14-117, approval of release of easements, Chain Lake Estates. And would this be Brad?
The plot of Chain Lake Estates, which is just up Chain Lake Road past the roundabout, kind of kitty corner from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is underway, just about completed. And in the past, there was then a water line that went across the middle of the property, connecting the water line at the end of 197th Drive to the water line on Chain Lake Road. And that was installed in the early 2000s to have a water line to get better water service up there. As part of the plat, as they laid out the lots, that water line easement is through the middle of lots, which would make it so they would be able to build houses. But as part of the development of the plat, they have relocated the water line to be inside the road right away, so it won't be in that way, so just so that they can actually have clear title of their lots and build houses on them. We need to extinguish the water line easement. There's no cost to the owner. You might need any compensation for that directly as cash, because they have provided an alternative location for the water main and at their own expense relocated the water main. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Shut that one down.
Are there any questions? Okay, council.
I accidentally closed it. Hang on just a second. I know I closed my wrong window.
I've got it right here.
Thanks. I got it. Yeah, I got to zoom in so I can see with my eyeballs these days.
Well, okay, Councilmember Cotterback.
Sorry.
I was just going to make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the release of the easement water line.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cotterback. I have a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion passes 6-0. We're now going to go back to the original item that we did not have in the packet. This is Agenda Bill 14-116. The title on it is Authorized Mayor to Sign Public Defender Contracts for Backup, in air quotes, services. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, thank you for making the copies, Elizabeth. I'd move to authorize the mayor to sign contracts for backup indigent defense services with Mr. Chris Griffin and Mr. Walt Wagner, and expressly authorize any further minor revisions deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. We're now going to move on to council member reports. This is from the Legislative Affairs Committee first, and then we'll...
Oh, you didn't meet.
Okay, so we're going to remove that from the agenda. They did not meet tonight. We're now going to go around the room, and Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Una's gone. I think the smokestack just looks great. Came down Woods Creek, and I mean, bam, there it was. I mean, the Monroe's really facing it. So if you have an opportunity to drive down Woods Creek, I mean, the Monroe is right at you. It looks really, really cool. And so I kind of had seen it, but I saw it with primer on, and then I saw it the next time I actually, you know, kind of looked up. The letters were there. Oh, it looks fantastic, and it's so overdue, and I'm so glad that it's getting done. I just think it's a great thing. Also, as I've mentioned in weeks before, there's a small event happening Friday night at the football stadium. So it's against Snohomish. Obviously, it's the football team. We're 2-0. We, you know, because I'm on the team, right? Yeah, so we. You know, it's our hometown. So it's going to be a blast, and it's such a great community event. And one thing that's just what I've always loved about about folks in Monroe, so different than where I grew up, is even when the team's not doing well, everybody shows up. Everybody goes crazy. The students are nuts. And, you know, where I grew up, you know, if the team wasn't doing well, nobody showed up. You know, that was, you know, there was, and it's just one of the things I love. It's such a community event. So hopefully everybody will get a chance to go. There's nothing else going on, but I'll certainly be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So a great community event. And love seeing the tornado of birds, too. This time of year is a lot of fun. I was actually looking at it. You could actually see it when I was walking in tonight. So really cool. Just a fun time, a really fun time. So thanks.
Councilmember Gamble.
Could not agree more on the football game. Actually, I went up Friday night to the Stanwood game. So we played out of town, and it was just amazing. I mean, it seemed like half the town of Monroe traveled to Stanwood to watch the game. It was fantastic. They pulled it out, and there was a comment from some of the students that were walking in from Stanwood saying, "This is terrible. There's more Monroe fans here than there are." You know, Stanwood. Oh no, it's fantastic. What are you talking about?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It was a blast. We watched with picture day for the Monroe youth football was yesterday, so we were up at the high school, and the JV team was playing against Stanwood, and they pulled that one out. As well. Just a great time of year. I don't want to steal the Chief's thunder because he's got a good report to give. I was out and attended the police versus fire football game on Sunday, so I'll let him give the score.
Okay.
But anyway, it is a great time of year. Apologies for being late tonight. It was curriculum night at Chain Lake Elementary, so I was trying to fit father duties in on top. So just a lot of picture day in the school system. It's just a lot of things. A lot of things going on. So I will be absent next Tuesday. I'm on vacation out of town, trying to track down an elk. So, all right.
Thank you. Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. On Friday, I will be also at the game, working with the Booster Club. I will be with my freshly minted food handler's permit, working on the concession. So please stop by. Bought lots of stuff, because I think we get a cut of the profits. Other than that, wish them well. And again, I have to echo what I've heard about the steam stack. Not the smoke stack, but the steam stack. I think it's really impressive. What a great job by the chamber and the coordination and with city staff who helped them. Everything. Everybody who's been involved in it has been just a great thing for the city. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Last Tuesday, I wasn't here. My wife and I were actually over in Everett in Providence, and we had the opportunity to welcome our second child. Kellen Reese was born Tuesday afternoon. Happy, healthy, screaming. Mom did great, and both are feeling great.
How's Dad?
Dad is a bit sleep deprived. Forgot what it was like, but the routines are coming back around. So we're thrilled. We're excited.
How's the big brother?
Big brother is he's good. He's coming around. He's accepting it. He finally realized this kid isn't going anywhere. So, yeah. But we're thrilled, excited, and everyone is extremely healthy and well. So I realize that this event doesn't really compare to the Friday night event, but Thursday night, the kids over here next door at the Monroe Montessori are having their annual zucchini races, which are always a blast to see. My 3-year-old will be participating in that and be in the area around 6:15. They are fun to watch, and there is vegetables that do get splattered on the pavement, so a little bit of chaos. That's it.
Thank you, Councilmember Cutter.
I didn't have a baby, and I'm not doing anything, so nothing tonight.
Councilmember Hanford, sorry.
I'm shocked. Didn't your daughter sing the national anthem and you didn't even give a report?
Well, it's
Called out.
Well, it was fantastic, but I mean, coming from the source, right? I mean, come on.
I didn't make it, so I was wanting to hear something.
We'll get the Chiefs. We'll get the Chiefs account. Okay. He was there.
So yeah, Friday's going to be great. Again, I agree with most everything that's been said. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't miss those days. I remember them. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Ben, do you have anything tonight? We'll come back to the chief. We'll come back to the chief so we can hear about the PD. Brad, do you have anything?
Yeah, two things. One is there aren't any streetlights downtown tonight because there was a short and they were working on fixing it, so we'll be back tomorrow night. So if you go that way, it'll be dark. The other one is the Scarcella working on the roundabout at the Highway 22 and Main Street. We'll be closing Main Street on Friday, maybe. So hopefully they will
what
do
time?
It after what? Everyone.
This could be after
home.
School, right?
After everyone goes home for the football game.
Okay. Okay. Oh, even better. Yes. Even better.
Yeah. They're going to do it at 9 p.m. Yeah. They're trying to get the whole time.
Oh, so, yeah. Needs to be longer than that.
Past it's Snohomish.
They're going to go.
So,
okay.
If you see any Snohomish people, then they might want to go a different route.
Lord.
Hopefully they'll lose both of them.
Thank you. I'm going to skip back to Melissa. Melissa, how are things in planning?
Busy. We've not so busy, but the comp plan update is continuing. Paul is out of the office right now, and hopefully we'll be in by the end of the week. We did get an update from him today. He's having eye surgery, so hoping everything has gone well. I should say we talked to him today, and it has gone well. It's just he has been submerging the sight in that eye, and it takes several days before he's longer than he anticipated. So, try to think what else. We just have a lot going on. It has slowed down in terms of applications a little bit from the last several months, but I think we're anticipating quite a bit coming to the door soon.
Thank you, Melissa. Brad?
Can I have something else?
Okay.
The thing is, this has been lots of things happening. We have selected a consultant for the Main Street Gateway project, so we'll be negotiating with Lochner Engineering to do on that, and so we'll be keeping you informed. We'll come to the council after we negotiate how we're going to have that project go.
Thank you. Chief.
Before I get to the briefing, I want to make sure that the Councilman Gamble understands which collegiate team is the number two.
Oh my goodness.
It's not the University of Washington.
Oh my God. Who is also 3-0?
The big game, I want to appreciate those who attended the church service that morning. Gave us a little assist, but it came in handy. We're up with 1 minute left. The Monroe Police Department defeated the Red Venice.
I'm sorry, what was the score again, Chief?
20-15.
Oh, nice.
The police department took the lead in the beginning and never looked back. And I think there's some real nice individuals in the fire department, but I think next year, or if we ever should do it again, I don't think they'll be talking as much prior to the game. I think they were totally shocked that this happened. So.
Thank you, Chief. Brad, do you have anything?
No,
I'm not. Okay. Diane? Okay. And Diane's been working really hard on the budget, just letting everybody know. So she may have nothing tonight, but she's been very busy working with staff on the budget. So thank you, Diane, and thank you, staff. Okay, Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to also recognize Una. She's done a ton since she's come to the community, and it's been really exciting. We have a lot of good things coming our way, and I want to thank staff. The last couple of weeks have just been crazy around here with all the events we've had going. Budget, the East Monroe thing, we've had people here at 5:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, and thank Brad specifically for stepping up to help out when Paul was out of the office and not able to be with us. So it's encouraging to know that we've got awesome staff that step up when the time is there and that need. The other thing I wanted to brief council on is that we've been working with with Republic Services since late last year. They continue wanting to be a great partner of the community, and we have worked out logistics on providing new planters in the downtown corridor. So they have agreed to pay for those. I don't remember the exact cost. I want to say it's between $15,000 and $17,000. Those have been ordered. And we're going to have a dedication ceremony in the downtown area. Una was also involved in helping pick out the color of the planters. So as soon as we have a delivery date, we'll have the dedication ceremony downtown, and we're hoping to put some winter flowers in there if we can afford to do so. And I know that we've also reached out to Walmart, and they've expressed interest in potentially helping. So it will bring some color to downtown, and thank Republic Services again for stepping up and being a good community partner.
Yeah. I want to thank Republic also for doing that. That's, I really appreciate that. We were thinking about doing this earlier in the year, but rather than pull out really beautiful flowers so that we can put out really new, you know, nice new pots, we decided to wait until now. So that was really great. Thanks for working on that. Do you have anything else before I report out on my stuff?
That's it. Thank
okay.
You.
So just a few things. I took part of Friday off so that I could interview our applicants for judge, and we have offered and has and this person has accepted. Her name is Mara Rosano. We'll be contracting with her for the next couple of months to help set up the court area and everything. And you'll be seeing a confirmation of appointment in December. So just congratulations to her on her application, on her successful application. On Saturday, I attended an event with the chamber and then went and checked out the status of the steam stack, and then went to the Swift night out also, and got to experience the Swift NATO. So anyway, I thought that was a lot of fun. But with all that said, we've just been really busy the last week with budget and with one item that we've discussed earlier this evening. And I think that's it for now. And Gene,
okay,
let's go through the agenda.
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for September 23rd, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have the Monroe Arts Council, the consent agenda, and under new business, we have the approved resolution adopting the petty cash account for the Monroe Municipal Court. Under final action, we have approval of ordinance XXX amending sign code regulations. It's a final reading. And we also have approval of ordinance number 012-2014 regarding overweight vehicle parking permits. That's a final reading. It's a continuation from tonight's item. And then under Mayor Administrative Reports, we have the SCC 2015 legislative agenda. And the mayor will be taking that one in my absence, which I appreciate. And the draft agenda for October 7th, 2014.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. If I may, I'd like to either next week or a week thereafter, and other council members may want to sign on, I'd certainly like to have either like a resolution or some sort of a statement in support of our planning department, in support of the work that was done with regard to East Monroe. I want to make sure that they're on the record that we are supporting our employees. There's a decision that while there has been a vote to comply with no further action, that we do disagree, and that everyone may not agree.
Yeah.
So if we could have something, perhaps some verbiage that the attorney might be able to work up for us, if love to be able to take action on that in support of our employees. For that, I think that would be I think that'd be great if other people wouldn't mind having that. You choose whether or not you want to participate in it, but I'd prefer to see that on the agenda next week. Or very, very soon.
So why don't we target the 7th or the 14th so that staff can put it together?
Do the 14th.
The 14th. I'll be gone on the 7th. I'd prefer the 14th.
Let's do the 14th.
If everybody's okay with that.
Yeah. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds good.
Well, yep. I do have one more.
Okay, Councilmember Gehring still has the floor.
Thank you, I appreciate that. I compelled, based on action earlier tonight, I believe Via Robert's Rules of Orders, a motion to rescind can be made on action taken this evening, but notice has to be given. So I want to give notice tonight that next week that I will be making a motion to rescind the action that we took on AB 14/118. If over the course of the week, of course, it's determined that that's not actually a valid motion to be made, then we can just take that off. But I am serving notice that I do intend to make that motion next week per Robert's Rules of Orders. In giving a notice, it only requires a simple majority rather than the entire body. So with that being said, I feel compelled to do that based on the action that we took this evening. Thank you.
Zach, do you have anything?
No comment, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. Councilmember Camp? Your light was...
I thought you said Hanford. I'll be absent on October 7th.
October 7th? Okay. What else do you have, Jim?
Yeah, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. We are now going to be moving into executive session for actual litigation for, hold on, for 2 minutes. Okay. And we do have two executive sessions on here. So would you like me to read these in? Can I read these in together, or we'll need to?
They combined, as long as you give the basis for each one and cite the appropriate statute for each.
Okay, so we have two executive sessions. One is actual litigation. It's RCW 42-30-110-1i. And the other one is pricing of property, RCW 42-30-110-1c. And the approximate time for them combined, is that acceptable, is 10 minutes.
Appropriate, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. So we're going to go into executive session in this room, and there will be action to follow, at least with an adjournment.
Oh, no.
Who are you guys?
Because
we're awesome. Back in session from executive session. I have Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to authorize the mayor to execute a letter of intent with the Irwin Development Group regarding parcel 5 of the North Kelsey Short Plat in substantially the form presented to council.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp. I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move to approve resolution number 021/2014, authorizing the sale of certain real property to Irwin Development Group.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp.
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. All in favor say, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Gamble. Mm-hmm. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Good night.